what hour your clock strikes, here it's always Halloween, and I'm always your haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner. Welcome to Small Frights Friday. On these very special episodes, I like to share a curated selection of calls from our All Hallows hotline and letters from our eek mailbag. It's Always Halloween is brought to you by our Patreon Ghoul Gang, who fund the entire production of every episode and keep us ad-free, independent, and sustainable. For those of you searching for a fun, spooky gift this holiday, you should snag a annual subscription to the It's Always Halloween Patreon for that creep you love. You get 2 months free when you join annually, so there's a gift level for every budget. $10, $30, $60, $100, $130, and even $160 if you're feeling extra freaky. Give them the gift of Halloween all year long. You can also sponsor a Small Frights episode in someone's name. For $40, your special someone will have a Small Frights all their own. You can even personalize a message to them, and I'll read it on the air. We have some new exciting Patreon content out now, including our December Kitchen Witch recipe selections and a brand new, chillingly sweet, 11-minute ghost story called A Christmas Meeting by the prolific novelist, screenwriter, and short story connoisseur Rosemary Timperley. It's about time travel, loneliness, and finding the right person just when you need them. We have two more Christmas ghost stories hitting the Patreon in the next week so that you can celebrate in the grand Victorian tradition of exchanging devilish tales by the fireside. Each story is dramatically read by myself with original sound design by the lovely Pete Burns, who is now hanging out on the Discord, by the way. Make sure to go say hi. And don't forget to ask whatever magical winter creature you believe in for the Final Girls Support Group by Grady Hendrix. This will be our very first Patreon Book Club selection for the month of January, and our first meeting will be Tuesday, January 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also coming up in January is our Scream Marathon on January 8th and 9th in preparation for the newest installment, which absolutely cannot let me down. I forbid it. Warmest thank yous to everyone who tuned in to the very first live episode of It's Always Halloween this past Sunday. It was so fun and loose and hopefully deeply informative. I have to admit, I felt a little nervous about some of my pronunciations. I crammed a lot of foreign words I'm not comfortable or familiar with into my research. And I typically, you know, have the ability to rewind when I'm doing that. On these episodes that you're listening to, I record for a couple hours so that I can make sure every word is right and it's clear and easy to listen to. So it was a very humbling experience to throw some words out there live and just not get them right and just have to move on. Like I said, it was very fun. No large mistakes were made. There was just a word that my mouth would not say. It was in strike against that word. So that being said, I edited the episode and I sent it to Pete to do all of his incredible music work on it. And we will be releasing the live episode from Axe Wound as a history episode soon. I'm really proud of the research that I did on this one, and I'm excited to share with you how I connected the dots from Roman gladiators to modern slasher films all in about 15 minutes. The final product is 15 minutes. The research was like a month, and I was crying a lot of that time. If you missed the opportunity to see It's Always Halloween on Sunday, you can still catch me in the filmmaker alumni panel. That's this Saturday, December 18th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I have a couple more passes to give away for this weekend. There's a few more film blocks, so reach out if you want one. Thanks again to the festival director, Hannah Foreman, and everyone at Axe Wound for hosting us. It was such a pleasure, such a wonderful first-time experience. Finally, I want to remind you that I will be at Season Screamings at the Pasadena Convention Center this Sunday, December 19th, and I would love to say hi to any fellow lanterns who will also be in attendance. Make sure to check the show notes for a link to tickets. There are still some on sale, so perhaps you could join us. And I look forward to getting to celebrate Creepmas with some of you. And now, let's take our first call from the hotline.
Hello, my name is Emmeline. I hope you don't hang up on me, but I did want to make a Christmas recommendation. It's called The Weird Christmas Podcast, and I think you and all the other Luceo Lanterns will really love this podcast because they have a lot of creepy, in-depth history there. They had a recent episode on Christmas witches specifically, as well as past episodes about other Christmas monsters. And they had an episode about the long history of American Christmas murder ballads, which I think will be quite the treat for all of us. So that's the Weird Christmas Podcast, hosted by Craig Kringle. I hope you enjoy. Bye.
Emmeline, oh, how dare you attack me in our own home on the hotline with Christmas? Oh, no, it is perfectly wonderful that you called, Emmeline. What a great recommendation. I've already listened to a couple episodes. It's so fun and really helpful because I am finishing up a Creepmas Critters episode that I hope to release soon that this helped me with some of my research. So I think that a lot of lanterns will enjoy this podcast. It's the perfect recommendation. And while I don't love hearing the word Christmas when it's October or even November because I am still processing, when we are a week out from Christmas, I will allow it. So you did a great job. I'm excited to keep listening to this podcast. And I think that fellow lanterns are really going to get a kick out of the research and the humor and the fascinating deep dives. It really does feel like a cousin of sorts to It's Always Halloween. So you did the right thing. But if you call here and talk about Christmas again, we are going to have a problem. All right, up next, we have an eek mail with the subject line, Meet Me in St. Louis, or Meet Me in St. Louis, Louis, meet me at the fair. Hello, Luce. I was just wondering if you've ever watched the Judy Garland movie, Meet Me in St. Louis. There is a 25-minute Halloween scene that is super retro. I highly recommend you or others check it out. This was made in the 1940s, but it's set in 1906. The kids get all dressed up and essentially spend the evening burning furniture in the street and going to people's doors and throwing flour in adults' faces. Probably worth checking out and discussing sometime. I was intrigued for sure. Also, musicals are good. Side note, I eBayed my brother a great Christmas present this year. He doesn't know it's coming. I sent him a trick-or-treat bucket that was the exact same one he had when he was a little kid in the 1980s. It's the perfect Christmas present. Oh my God, and a picture is attached and it's a really cool Halloween bucket. It's a smiling jack-o'-lantern orange with the black, you know, little triangle eyes and little black triangle eyebrows, black triangle nose. And then in the mouth, it has four teeth, two on the top, two on the bottom, and it's black, but then it's etched in the mouth with orange. It just says, treat, which is so funny to me. Treat in mouth, please. Treat, go here. Treat. I love this. Oh, it is signed Steve Santoro, the biggest Halloween fan in the Michigan Upper Peninsula, or Michigan's UP. Ah, Steve, and I believe Steve and I talk on Twitter, correct me if I'm wrong, and that Steve got one of the very cool It's Always Halloween t-shirts from Redbubble. Sent me a really good picture in a lighthouse, I think. So correct me if I'm wrong. I am going to throw that up on the socials, though, so that everyone can see it. And then if it's a different Steve from Michigan, I will correct myself. This is fantastic, Steve. This trick-or-treat bucket really is the perfect Christmas present. In fact, I'm going to send this to Isaac and tell him this is what I want for Christmas, too. My goodness. So, yes, I have seen Meet Me in St. Louis, and we did briefly talk about meet me in St. Louis early on in our episode Halloween Eve from last October. Another lantern, Renee, called in about it. And I actually have a clip that I can drop in the show notes from that scene. It's not like the entire 30 minutes, but Meet Me in St. Louis is great. I love it. I starred in it. I had a supporting role in it as the doctor, and very fond memory. I was 10 years old. It was a community summer theater, and the costumer, who was a much older woman, was fitting me for my doctor's dress. And she was like, you know, it's just very progressive that to have a woman doctor in the turn of the century. And I was like, yeah. I just wanted to be Tootie. But I was a tall child, so the role went to Jessica Stewart, who was small and adorable. And I've never been small and adorable. I've always been tall and loud. So I got to be doctors, but the doctor is not the main character. Anyways, that's an aside. I'm very familiar with Meet Me in St. Louis. It also has a really wonderful Christmas song in it, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, sung by Judy Garland herself. So you could watch Meet Me in St. Louis this season and get a little jolt of the Christmas holiday and also get that nice 30-minute Halloween scene. It's truly the best of both worlds, so it's a great recommendation for this time of year, Steve. Thank you so much for writing in, and I hope that your brother loves the jack-o'-lantern. You'll have to write us back with an update, perhaps maybe a picture of him. You know what would be amazing is a picture of your brother as a child with the original lantern and then a picture of him now with the gift of the one that you eBayed. I mean, if that exists, that would be very cool. Thank you for spreading the word of It's Always Halloween across the UP. I have been to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan once. It was in the summer of 1992. I believe, and I had a really nice time, so thank you for having me. Up next, what is that? Ring-a-ding-ding, another call from the hotline.
Hi, there, Lucy and fellow lanterns. So I had a quick question. First off, I want to say thank you so much for the podcast. It's really getting me through a rough time. I find myself restarting from the beginning as a fun way to get through difficult moments. I am going to mention the C word, and by C word I mean Christmas, because I have a question. I want to know your take on a new trend. I was at Descanso Gardens here in LA at their carved Halloween event, and they, in their gift shop, were selling quite a few Halloween ornaments. And I have noticed a trend in there being like black or burnt, like Halloween Christmas trees. I was curious to know your take on this. Is a Halloween tree a new thing? Should we pick a tree in our front yard that we should be decorating, covering in tons of cute little cat and ghosts and pumpkin ornaments? I think it's kind of fun. I don't love the idea of doing one tree for all the holidays. It's in that weird territory of like Nightmare Before Christmas. So I want to know your take. I want to know other lanterns' take. And I'm excited to hear your response. Have a good one.
This is a terrific question. Thank you so much for this call. I have a lot of thoughts. One, I think that the Halloween-themed Christmas trees are really fun. I know a lot of people who do them, and I think that they're really clever, and I think they're obviously super Halloween-y, and I really admire one's dedication to the holiday. Obviously, it's a very bold choice that's going to garner lots of comments from people who don't live in Halloween land. And so to just put yourself out there like that, it's such a strong choice. And I think that should be applauded. I personally have a fake green tree that I bought at Target about 12 years ago. And I have been carting it around from Ohio to DC to LA. And it's just a sweet little green tree. And I think it cost me $60 at the time. And I'm the kind of person who buys something and I'm like, now I have it. I'm done now. Like, I have a couch. I have a dining room table. I have a Christmas tree. Like, I don't like rebuying large items. So I decorate my Christmas tree with ornaments that I have collected my whole life since I was a little girl. And I like to think of my Christmas tree as like a scrapbook of my personality, which includes a lot of facets and definitely spooky things, Halloween and horror movies, and I have a Twilight Zone ornament. But I have a lot of things that I'm interested in, and so I personally like my own tree to reflect that. And then, of course, Isaac and I have lived together for 5 years, so he has Christmas ornaments as well. So I would say we have a sort of traditional-looking Christmas tree, but it's covered with, like, pop culture and travel and, like, weird handmade ornaments from when we were kids. Kind of a very kitschy-looking tree. If I was a person who had more than 800 square feet, more than just a living room, I think I would love to do a couple of different types of trees. I've always been really attracted to the vintage, campy, like silver trees or bright pink trees, which is what I think is really cool about like the all black tree or the orange trees. Just anything that's a little different than the mainstream is definitely aesthetically exciting to me. But just having one tree, I want it to have a little more of a traditional Christmas look to it, only because I do need to change seasons a little bit to feel like I am moving through the world and not just stuck in a vacuum. That being said, I love that you brought up Descanso Gardens. I'm actually going tomorrow to see their Christmas display. It's like a beautiful, kind of like an arboretum for those of you not in Los Angeles. And they do a huge Christmas light display that's extremely intricate and detailed. And it's one of my favorite Christmas things to do. And I haven't gotten to do it in like 3 or 4 years. So I'm going tomorrow night. And for my birthday this year, one of my dear friends, Jonathan Bradley Welsh, who's an amazing comedian and a political activist here in Los Angeles, for my birthday, he got me a little Halloween, like a jack-o'-lantern man as an ornament from Descanso Gardens. So this is so perfect for your call that I have an ornament from the place that you were talking about. So I will have a brand new Halloween themed item on my Christmas tree this year. I must say, I also like your idea of decorating trees outside with Halloween themed decorations. And I definitely encourage that. In fact, we could do that all year round. Let's open up the phone lines. If only. I would love if this was a live show with people calling in. But let's open up the phone lines and let's hear from everyone out there in Halloween land. Do you have your own all Halloween themed tree? Is it up all year round? Is it up just for Christmas? Do you do one all year and then do you do a different one at Christmas? Do you do one at Halloween and at Christmas? I would love to hear. So let me know. Let us know. We are very curious. And if you don't do it, what doesn't appeal to you? Or like, why don't you want to do it? Do you want your holidays to be separate? Do you want it to be like very Christmassy at Christmas time and very Halloweeny at Halloween time? Or like Halloween 10 months out of the year and Christmas 2 months out of the year? I'm sort of that person where I like to dip into Christmas traditions, Christmas things. But I like it when Christmas is spooky. So that's why, you know, I got the gremlins, I've got pumpkins, I've got Twilight Zone, I've got skeletons and lots of different black cats and things on my tree. But then I also have Santas and I have a couple bears and a sled and I have snowflakes. So I like to cram a little bit of everything onto my tree and into my house. I'm a very stuff-oriented person. Not nice stuff. I'm talking McDonald's toys dating back to 1987, that kind of stuff. And you guys, I don't want you to forget that we actually have an all Christmas episode. Now, it was an April Fool's prank and it was all Pete's idea. It was so fun putting it together, but it's a really in-depth episode. It started as a joke and then I had so much fun learning about the history of Christmas that I just went all out with it. And it's like an hour-long episode all about Christmas from April 1st, but the information is good. The information is not made up. So if you haven't listened to it yet, make sure to go back and listen to it. I will throw it in the show notes. And we have got a Creepmas history episode coming up next week and soon the slasher history episode coming out. So there's a lot of fun gifts to look forward to. And like I said, 4 Christmas ghost stories on the Patreon. and lots of new year surprises in store as well. So I hope that everyone is having a nice month, and I hope that you're able to take some time off at the end of the year and enjoy solitude or friends or family or pets, and just kind of reflect on the gifts of the year and look towards the next year and prepare yourself and feel happy and healthy and Halloween-y. Happy, healthy, and Halloween-y, the three H's. I would love to hear how you're celebrating Creepmas and how you're injecting a little Halloween into these wintry months. Let us know if you have a Halloween tree. Let us know if you got cool Halloween-themed presents for your loved ones. And let us know if you listen to any good Christmas podcasts that are also spooky. Give us a call at 802-532-DEAD or drop us an email at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast. As I said at the top of the episode, why not gift yourself or a loved one an annual subscription to It's Always Halloween by going to patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween or sponsor an episode in their name with a special message for $40 using our tip jar. You can also deck the halls with It's Always Halloween merch from our Redbubble. Be like Steve in the UP and gift out beautiful jack-o'-lanterns while wearing your It's Always Halloween shirt. That link is in our show notes as well. This episode of It's Always Halloween was performed by me, Luce Tomlin Brenner, with help from your fellow lanterns, including Emmeline, Steve, and a mystery Angelino. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at LTB Comedy and Pete at Mittenberries. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe and write us a little review so that other like-minded ghouls can find us. Like this review from Real College. The title is Time Amazingly Spent. This podcast is informative and nostalgic. The listeners' personal stories keep the holiday in your heart year-round for sure. I find myself shouting, yes, 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 when they hit on personal memories. Definitely give it a listen if the Halloween season is one of your favorite times of year. Thank you so much, Real College. We appreciate that review from November. Maybe gift us a 5-star review, a little write-up for Christmas so that everyone out there knows that we are hitting the streets with our trick-or-treat pails all year round, just like Pete's mom. We're also on the NPR One app, so subscribe to us there, and please, please tell Ira Glass that you love us. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of It's Always Halloween, and come back next time, unless you get cast as the lead role in your community theater production of Meet Me in St. Louis, and then I don't want to hear about it.